Maybe he's right. Maybe I am. Do you want my help? I nod. Caroline turns on her heel and gestures for me to follow her. Come on, she says. I know what to do. She leads me to the first row of the theater, and we spend the next 3 hours working on a single poem. I write, Caroline listens. When I get stuck, she feeds me word after word, until we find the perfect one that sums up what I want him to know. When I'm done, we have a poem that doesn't say I'm sorry in so many words, but it talks about regret and second chances, a fear of not belonging that runs so deep it changes you into someone you don't want to be. It's about seeing what you've become, and wanting, craving to be someone different, someone better. It's me, asking him to let me in, asking all of them to give me a chance to show them that deep down, I'm not who they think I am. Or maybe I'm exactly who they think I am, but I no longer want to be. That narrow hallway. 15 minutes into lunch, I start stuffing empty wrappers back into my lunch bag, collecting my trash and brushing the grass off my pants. I have to go to the library and get this book for English, I announce. Anyone want to come? I already know they'll pass. I'm not allowed in there, Olivia says proudly. Caitlin laughs. How the hell do you get banned from the school library? Olivia rolls her eyes. Mrs. Rasmussen caught Travis and me making out in the biography section. It's around that corner, you know, she says, drawing an imaginary curve in the air with her hand. It's completely out of view. What else are you supposed to do over there? She giggles. Look for biographies? Haley suggests. Nah, boring. Olivia sits up a little straighter, eyes darting around the circle, enjoying the attention. Trust me, it was worth getting kicked out. Travis may not be the sharpest tool in the shed, but that boy can kiss. We all laugh. I wonder what he's doing this weekend, Olivia adds as she reaches for her phone. I thought you broke up because you two didn't have anything to talk about, Alexa says. We don't, she crinkles her nose. I'm not planning to talk to him, she says, cocking her head to the side and continuing to search for his number. Caitlin pulls a piece of bread from her sandwich and chucks it at Olivia's head. I mutter a quick, see ya, and head off for the path that leads to the theater. I know exactly where to go. I've pictured those stairs and that narrow hallway in my mind 100 times now, and soon I'm inside the janitor's closet, pulling the mops and brooms to the side to reveal the concealed seam and the black bolt. Their voices are muffled like they're far away, and I knock lightly 3 times. The sound stops immediately. I hear the key slip into the lock and the deadbolt click. AJ cracks the door open, just wide enough to see me.
You've got to be kidding.
Ignoring his comment, I come up on my tiptoes, looking over his shoulder, searching for Caroline. She's part of today's plan. I come downstairs, and she tries to convince him to let me in so I can read the poem we wrote. I'm looking for... I start to say her name, but AJ opens the door and steps forward, and I have no choice but to step back inside the janitor's closet. That stupid Chia Pet jingle pops into my head. What the hell's wrong with me? He closes the door and uses that key around his neck to lock it behind him.
What, are you on some kind of twisted quest or something? Did your friends put you up to this?
He walks over to the door that connects the janitor's closet to the hallway and peers out, looking for my accomplices. I was expecting him to be surprised, but not quite so pissed. My hands start shaking, and my legs feel like they're going to give out, but I force myself to stand tall and look right into his eyes like Caroline told me to. I have something I'd really like to read to you, to all of you. I pull the poem from the pocket of my jeans and open it wide so he can see the proof. He walks toward me, laughing.
It doesn't work that way, Samantha.
How does it work?
He brings his hands to his hips. It works like this. Members read. Members listen. Non-members do not read or listen because they aren't allowed inside. Look, I made an exception, but I told you. 1 time.
Can't I just...
He cuts me off. You need to go.
Why?
Because, he says, you don't belong here.
My heart sinks. I fold my poem along the creases and stuff it back into my pocket. Why not?
His gaze travels around the room like he's searching for words, but he won't find any on these walls. There's nothing but cleaning supplies in here. Finally, he locks his eyes on mine, and he doesn't say a thing, but I understand completely. He told me the first time I was down here. We're not friends.
I reach into my pocket, removing the folded piece of paper again. I press it into his palm and close his fingers around it. I didn't remember at first. It was years ago. I don't know. Maybe I blocked it out or something. But anyway, I know what I did now, and I am so sorry. I'll never be able to tell you how much I regret it, but I'm truly, genuinely sorry. And mortified.
Some weird sound escapes and I cover my mouth.
But I deserve to be, right?
I turn to leave, hoping he'll stop me. He doesn't. As I'm about to step into the hallway, I glance over my shoulder. AJ is already back inside Poet's Corner. When I hear the bolt click into place, I return to the door and rest my ear against it. I can hear their voices on the other side. I feel tears pricking my eyes when I think about Sydney standing on stage, making everyone laugh, and AJ singing, giving everyone chills. I'm curious about Caroline. She said it would be easy to get me inside, as long as we found the right words. She was wrong. Maybe she's up there right now pleading my case since I can't do it myself. I picture that room, its tactile walls, all those colorful slips of paper and incredible words I'll never see again. I climb the stairs, cross the stage, and step out into the sunshine, taking deep, deliberate breaths like Shrink Sue taught me to. By the time I arrive at our tree, I'm under control again.
Where's your library book?
Haley asks as I sit down, rejoining the circle. It was already checked out, I tell her. I pluck at the blades of grass, 1, 2, 3, and look around at Alexis, Caitlin, Olivia, and Haley, thinking about Sue's advice to make new friends, and realizing that after all those years of saying I couldn't do it, I just tried to, and failed.
Can't move on.
Fill me in, Sue says. How are things with your friends this week?
I stretch the putty between my fingers, testing to see how far I can pull it before it snaps.
Better in some ways, but different. Do you mean they're treating you differently?
I kind of wish they were. That would be easier.
No, it's more the other way around.
It's been a month since I tried to give AJ my poem. Ever since that day, something shifted in me. I'm quieter during lunch. Last Saturday night, I skipped a party and went to the movies with my family instead. I've been hanging out with Paige after school, taking her to gymnastics practice, helping her with her homework. I'm having a hard time being around the aides. I can't even look at Caitlin. Every time I do, I think of that smug look on her face when she said we cured AJ, and I feel sick. I kick off my shoes and pull my feet onto the chair, curling myself into a ball. I don't feel like talking about them today. Can we change the subject? I ask, resting my chin on my knees.
Of course. What do you want to talk about?
I glance over at the clock. I've spent the week obsessing about sitting in this chair, talking to Sue, hearing her advice, playing with my putty. Now I'm here and I have no idea what I want to say. I've been swimming every day. I'm feeling good about that. I can tell I'm getting stronger and it's taking my mind off, well, everything. And I've been writing a lot. It's cathartic, you know? It makes me feel... I search for the right word, something Sue will like, and settle on. Healthy.
I like that word. Healthy.
She says it slowly, letting it linger in the air for a while. I feel a pang of guilt when I picture myself huddled under the covers with a flashlight, writing until late night becomes early morning.
This probably isn't the best time to tell her I haven't been taking my sleep meds. How are things with Caroline? She asks. As soon as I hear her name, I feel my shoulders sink a little lower.
Good. We've been spending a lot of time together. We meet in the theater after school, and she helps me with my poetry.
God, if the eights overheard me say that, I'd never hear the end of it. But Sue clearly isn't one of them, because she rests her elbows on the armrest and leans forward to keep me talking. I like writing with her. When I can't figure out how to articulate what I want to say, she seems to have the perfect words. And we talk, you know? Really talk about things. I shift in my chair, squeeze my putty into a tight ball. The eights and I used to talk like that, but we haven't in a long time. It feels kind of strange to have a friend like that again.
But good strange?
Yeah, definitely good strange. My fingers work the putty while Sue settles back in her chair and consults her notes, flipping back to earlier pages, previous sessions.
We haven't talked about Brandon in a while. Are you still thinking about him?
Brandon? Wow. Now that I think about it, I haven't given him much thought in the last month.
No, not really.
She writes it down.
How about Kurt?
Kurt? Ew, no. I saw him at lunch today, but that didn't even prompt me to think about him in the way Sue's referring to.
Are you thinking about any other boys?
You mean, am I obsessing about any other boys?
Not necessarily, unless that's what it feels like to you.
I grin at her.
Nice spin.
Sue cocks her head to one side, looking smug. I haven't talked to AJ since I gave him my apology poem, and he kicked me out of Poet's Corner. But I think about that day a lot. I think about him a lot. I change the route I take to third period, so I'm more likely to cross paths with him. I write about him almost every night before I fall asleep. I was up late last night making a playlist of acoustic guitar songs I could imagine him playing, and titled it Song for You. I figured out where he lives, but I fought the urge to drive by his house. I know where he eats lunch when he's not downstairs. I've seen him sitting at the round table over by the bathrooms with that other guy and one of the girls from Poet's Corner, but I don't stare at him or intentionally drop objects as I walk by or anything. I picture his dimple and that sexy, fluid way he throws his guitar over his back. But then I think about the look on his face when he told me I didn't belong in Poet's Corner, and reality hits. I'm not sure I'm obsessed with him, but I'm definitely obsessed with him forgiving me. And I'm curious about him. Caroline knows. Sue would probably want me to tell her, too.
No, I'm not obsessed with any boys, I say.
She raises her eyebrows, looking at me like she knows me far too well to believe it. I'm not offended. I've been preoccupied with guys since the day she met me. But I can't stop thinking about AJ, the boy Caitlin and I teased when we were kids. I rest my forehead on my knees, hiding my face.
You've apologized to him, haven't you? She asks.
I nod without looking at her. But I can't undo what I did. I let out a heavy sigh.
When am I going to stop making mistakes, Sue?
Her laugh catches me off guard, and I look up at her wide-eyed and confused.
Why on earth would you want to do that? She asks.
I stare at her.
Mistakes, trial and error, same thing. Mistakes are how we learn to walk and run, and that hot things burn when you touch them. You've made mistakes all your life, and you're going to keep making them.
Terrific. The trick is to recognize your mistakes, take what you need from them, and move on.
I can't move on.
You can't beat yourself up, either. The room is quiet for a long time. Finally, she clears her throat to get my attention.
Why are you scratching? She asks.
I hadn't even realized I was doing it, and when I pull my fingers away, the back of my neck feels sore and raw. I smash my thumb into my putty.
I need him to forgive me, I say.
It's all I think about. It's making me crazy.
You can't need that, Sam, she says, slowly shaking her head. That one's out of your control,
You've done your part, and now it's up to him. He'll either forgive you or he won't.
He won't. I haven't let myself cry over what Caitlin and I did to AJ. Not when I found out, not when I told Sue a month ago. But I can't hold back the tears anymore, so I let them fall. My chest already feels lighter with the release.
Hey, Sue says, resting her elbows on her knees. Look at me. You're a good person who made a mistake. That makes me cry even harder. Did you learn something?
I hide my face behind my hand, nodding fast.
Then this particular mistake has done its job. Forgive yourself and move on, Sam.
When Sue hands me a tissue, my eyes meet hers.
Go for it, she says quietly. I'm not sure how long I sit there, wiping my eyes and blowing my nose, but I know even if we go overtime on our session today, there's no way she'll let me leave this chair until I say it, and mean it.
I forgive myself, I finally say, my voice cracking on each word.
3 steps up.
As I take my seat in history class, I check the clock on the wall. I still have a few minutes before the bell rings, so I pull out my yellow notebook. I've been thinking about mistakes and forgiveness ever since my session with Sue yesterday, and I'm dying to add a few more lines to my poem on the topic.
Hey, Sam!
I slam my notebook shut and look up. Sydney is hovering over me.
Hi, Sydney, right?
I ask as if I don't know her name. But of course I do. I've seen her every day during fourth period for the past month, and each time I think about her Chicken McNuggets poem and smile to myself. She rests one hand on my desk and reaches for my silver S pendant with the other.
Ooh, I love this, she says, lifting it into her fingers.
She twists it around a few times, studying it from various angles. She drops it and reaches for her own necklace.
Look, we have excellent taste in letters, she says, holding up a hot pink letter S.
That's really pretty, I tell her, still trying to figure out why she's talking to me.
So, she whispers, AJ read your poem to us.
What? When?
I gave it to him so long ago, I figured if he'd read it, I would have known by now. It's been all I can do to stop thinking about it.
We've been talking, she says. We want you to come back.
Really?
Really. She bends down toward my ear.
Some of us wanted you to come back the following week. Some of us took more convincing.
AJ? I ask.
He wasn't alone in his opinion. We all know who you are, Samantha. We remember what you did to him, she says.
I hunch my shoulders and tuck my head to my chest, wishing I could disappear.
But I think you meant what you said in that poem.
Did you?
It takes effort, but I sit up straight and look right at her.
Every last word.
Good. We're meeting at lunch today. Come downstairs with me after class.
She taps my yellow notebook.
Bring this with you, she says.
Then she continues down the aisle and takes her seat a few rows behind me.
Holy shit. My mind is racing and I can't lock onto one thought. I'm still embarrassed, but now elation is starting to take over. I get to see that room again. But then I think about how Sydney tapped on my notebook, and I start to panic. I'll have to read a poem. Class starts, but I'm not really paying attention. All I can think about are the poems I've written so far. I swap out my yellow notebook for the blue one and start thumbing through the pages, looking for worthy candidates as I dig my fingernails into the back of my neck, 3 times, again and again. Horrible. Lame. Ridiculous. Supposed to be funny but isn't. Supposed to rhyme but doesn't. This one's kind of poignant, but... haiku?
Sweat is forming on my brow and I keep shifting in my chair, and my neck already feels sore from all the scratching. Maybe I'll have time to ask Caroline for her opinion. She's heard every one of these poems. She helped me write many of them.
Wait, this one's worth considering. I look up at the whiteboard to check the status of the lesson and pretend to take a few notes, but when the coast is clear, I read the poem. Then I turn around and look at Sydney. She's watching me with wide eyes and an encouraging smile, and it reminds me of Caroline's words that very first day. I'm going to show you something that will change your whole life. Sydney's chatty, and that's good, because I can't breathe, let alone speak. As we weave our way through the doors, down the stairs, and around the tight corners, I listen to her talk about her plans for the upcoming weekend, and I mutter a few uh-huhs, sprinkled with some that-sounds-like-funs, but I'm not really hearing a word she's saying. I was feeling so confident once I found a poem to read, but apparently I left that emotion back in the classroom. Now it's all hitting me. As soon as I get through that door, they'll all expect me to get on stage and let meaningful words emerge from my mouth. I can't do that. I can't even speak when I'm sitting on a patch of grass next to people I've known my entire life. The air must be thicker down here, or maybe the ventilation in the basement doesn't work as well as it should, because I can't breathe. Sydney knocks hard on the door that leads inside, and we wait. My fingernails find their usual spot and dig in, hard. This is a mistake. The bolt clicks and the door squeaks as it opens, and there's AJ, key in hand.
"Hi,"
he says. Sydney pulls the door open. Once we're in the room, she spreads her arms wide.
"Where do you want to sit?"
I scan the room. The African-American girl with the long black braids is resting her knee on one of the couches, talking and waving her arms animatedly, like she's telling a funny story. The girl with the super curly blonde hair and the short guy in the artsy glasses are watching her, laughing along. On the far end of the room, I spot pixie-cut girl, Abigail. She looks different today, eyes thickly lined in a dramatic cat's eye and lips painted dark red. She wears it well, confidently. Her arm is propped against the back of the couch, and she's chatting with that girl with the short dark hair and the small silver nose ring. I don't see Caroline anywhere. "Give me a minute, would you?" I say to Sydney as I point at AJ. She gets the message. He bolts the door and then turns around to face me. He doesn't look angry, he doesn't look upset, he doesn't look anything. "Listen," I say, "I can go if you're uncomfortable with this. I'm, what's the word, conflicted? Selfish? I'm wondering if I should be here. I mean, if you don't want me to be." He doesn't say anything at first, but then he gestures toward the others.
"They want to hear what you have to say."
"I don't have anything to say."
"I guess I want to hear what you have to say too," AJ adds.
Now this feels less like an invitation to join the group and more like a test I need to pass. I write shitty poetry. For myself. I don't have anything to say. "I'm not sure I'm ready for this." The words come out before I can stop them. My breathing becomes shallow again, and my whole body feels like it's on fire. My hands are clammy, my fingers tingly, and the thoughts start rushing in one after the other. Everyone's going to laugh at me.
"Are you okay?"
AJ asks, and without even thinking about it, I shake my head. "Where's Care?" My throat goes dry before I can get her name out. I wrap my hand around my neck, and AJ takes my arm, leading me to one of the couches in the back row.
"Sit down, or I'll get you some water," he says.
I rest my elbows on my knees and fix my gaze on the black painted floor. It's just a thought. I feel a hand on my back, and I turn my head to the side, expecting to see AJ. But it's Caroline. "Hey, it's okay," she says. As quickly as it began, the thought spiral starts to slow. "Caroline," I whisper.
"I'm right here," she says. "It's okay."
I can't break down in front of them. I don't want to be someone who breaks down. "Is everyone looking at us?" I ask.
"Nope, no one's paying any attention. Just breathe."
I listen to her. I do what I'm told.
A few seconds later, AJ returns to my other side with a cup of water.
Here,
he says. I take it without looking at him and drink it with my eyes closed. I imagine him and Caroline silently communicating above my head. I'm in control. I can do this. Instead of my own destructive thoughts, I now hear Sue's voice in my head, telling me this is good, that this is something Summer Sam might do, that she's proud of me. Without letting another negative thought creep in, I bend down, unzip my backpack, and remove my blue notebook. I'm ready, I say quietly, and I stand up tall, feigning confidence.
What are you doing?
AJ asks. Reading.
Sam.
I cut him off. No, it's okay. I'm finally down here, and this is what they do when they're down here. If I'm going to prove I belong, I need to get up on that stage and show them I'm not just one of the crazy eights. I'm just me.
Watch for today, Sam.
AJ motions toward the rest of the group, sitting, waiting to start.
Please.
But I'm already pushing past him, making my way to the stage. Stepping onto the platform doesn't require any physical effort. It's 2 feet off the floor at best, but it does call for a heavy dose of forced enthusiasm. I scoot onto the stool and sit up straight. The chatter dies immediately. I'm sure everyone can see my legs shaking. Hi, I say to the group, waving my little blue notebook in the air. I've been writing a lot of poetry lately, but I'm really new at this. I choose my words carefully. Even if I said my stuff sucked, I doubt they'd actually pelt me with paper balls on my first visit, but I don't really want to test them on it. So be nice, okay? Sydney opens her mouth like she's about to say something. The others are silently watching me, shifting in place, looking at one another, and I can't help but feel as if I've done something wrong. I find AJ and Caroline at the back of the room. I can't read either one of their expressions. Keep going. I open my notebook to the page I dog-eared back in class. This is called Plunge, I say. I take a deep breath. 3 steps up, I begin. But then I stop, giving myself a second to skim the rest of the poem. It looks different than it did back in U.S. history. Everything's right here. My obsession with threes, my scratching habit, my parking ritual. How I can't sleep. This poem isn't about the pool at all. It's about the crazy. My crazy. All here spilled in ink. Suddenly I feel more like a stripper than a poet, 2 minutes away from exposing myself to these total strangers who may think I'm plastic, but don't currently think I'm nuts. Shit, here they come again. The negative thoughts overpower all the positive ones, and the familiar swirl begins. But this time, the thoughts aren't about standing on stage and reading out loud and wondering if everyone's going to laugh at me. These thoughts are much worse. They'll know I'm sick. I wanted to believe that I could get up on this stage and drop my guard, like AJ and Sydney did so easily. But now I'm not so sure anymore. They're all watching me, and I look at each of their faces, realizing that I know nothing about them. I don't even know most of their names. 3 steps up, I repeat, softer this time. My whole body is shaking and my palms are clammy. My stomach cramps into a tight knot, and I feel like I'm about to throw up. I stand, preparing to bolt from the stage, but then something catches my eye at the back of the room. Caroline is on her feet. She brings her fingers to her eyes and mouths the words, "Look at me." For a second it helps. I lock my eyes on hers and open my mouth to speak again. But then the walls feel like they're warping and bending, and Caroline's face starts to blur. Oh no. I force myself to bend my knees, like my mom always tells me to do when I have to give an oral report, so I won't lock them and faint. AJ was right. I don't belong here. I'm sorry, I mutter to no one in particular as I roll my notebook into a tube, wishing I could make the whole thing disappear. Then I'm off, heading straight for the door. The door. I run my finger along the seams over the deadbolt. I can't get out without the key.
Hold on.
AJ steps in front of me and starts working the lock.
It's okay,
he says. He sounds like he genuinely means it, like he's trying to make me feel better. But I'm not stupid. I can hear a trace of relief in his voice. I don't know how to write poetry, let alone read it aloud to a group of strangers. Besides, I'm not like the rest of them. I don't need to be here. I have friends. I feel guilty for thinking it, but it's true. My relationship with the Eights may be superficial, but at least they don't expect me to spill my guts to them on a regular basis. That's when it hits me. This is all a big joke. Payback for what I did to AJ all those years ago. I bet they'll all have a good laugh about it when AJ finally gets this fucking door open. My whole face feels hot, and tears are welling up in my eyes as the bolt clicks and the door cracks open. You proved your point, I whisper to AJ, pushing past him. Don't worry, I won't be back. As quickly as I can, I slip back into the janitor's closet, past the mops, brooms, and chemicals, and out the door into the hallway. Caroline will be right on my heels, but I don't want to see her right now. For a second, I think she may have set me up. Then I remember the way she forced me to look at her. There's no way she would have intentionally hurt me. I fly up the stairs and into the sun, making a beeline for the student lot. All I can think about is sliding into the driver's seat, starting my In the Deep playlist and shutting out the world. But when I get to the car and reach for my backpack, there's nothing there. My backpack. It's still on the floor back in Poet's Corner, along with everything else that matters. My keys, my phone, my music, my red and yellow notebooks, my secrets. I slump against the car door, hugging my blue notebook to my chest. A Poet Wannabe. The asphalt is getting hotter as the early October afternoon wears on, and I've had nothing to do out here in the parking lot but curse the California sun and count the bells. 1. Lunch ended. 2. Fifth period began. 3. Fifth ended. 4. Sixth began. That's my cue. I brush the parking lot dust off my butt and head back toward campus, praying I don't see anybody. I head through the gate and across the grass until I can pick up the cement path that leads to my locker. Maybe Caroline fed a note through one of the vents, telling me where to find my backpack. As soon as I have it, I'll go straight to the office, say I'm sick, and ask if I can call my mom so I can drive home. The corridors are empty, and I reach my locker without running into anyone. I dial the combination and lift the latch. No note. To center myself, I look at the inside of my locker door, staring at the three pictures Shrink Sue told me to tape there, and trying to reconnect with the stronger person I see in the images. I run my finger across the photo of me on the diving block, wearing that willful, determined expression. Confidence. That was the word I said that day. She wouldn't have run away. I immediately realize my mistake, and it hits me with absolute certainty. I have to go back. Even if it was all a joke, even if they meant to embarrass me, I have to go back down there and prove I can do it, if not to them, at least to myself. If I can stand on diving blocks and win a medal, I can stand on a stage and read a poem. I belong in that room.
Hey.
I hear a voice behind me and I turn around. AJ is sitting at one of the round metal tables on the grass between the walking paths. There are two backpacks at his feet. As he stands, he reaches for mine. He crosses the lawn and hands it to me.
Here, Sam.
Sam. You should have left it in the office or something, I say, taking it from him. You're going to get in trouble for missing class.
And you're not?
He asks, raking his fingers through his hair. I thought I'd go home for the day. The brief moment of confidence is gone now that he's standing here. I think about that stage and that stool, how AJ worked the lock to let me out of that room, and my face heats. He's watching me, not saying a word. My gaze settles on a crack in the cement while I muster up the courage to tell him the truth. I panicked, I say. I thought you guys would laugh at my poem.
We wouldn't have.
And then I thought maybe it was all a joke, that you were trying to get me back for what I did to you when we were kids.
I force myself to meet his eyes. I'd never do that.
I hear Shrink Sue's voice in my head, talking about mistakes, reminding me that they serve a purpose. I blew it, didn't I?
No, we did.
His expression is different now. It's softer, almost apologetic.
Look, Sam, we went about that wrong. There's this whole initiation process we sort of skipped over.
I can't tell if he's joking. I hear the words initiation process and immediately think of blindfolds and candles and the possibility of water torture. Great. I cover my head with both hands and find that crack in the cement again.
Don't worry,
he says. I can hear the laugh in his voice, and something about it makes me feel more at ease. If he's laughing, maybe he's smiling, too. I've seen him smile, that one time he was performing on stage, but I've never seen him smile at me. I look up. Sure enough, he is.
Instead of skipping sixth and going home, can I convince you to skip sixth and come with me?
Where?
Downstairs.
Why, is everyone else there?
No, that's kind of the point. You're supposed to get the room all to yourself. I'll show you what I mean.
He gestures toward the theater with his chin and takes two steps backward, moving toward the path. After that first time, all I wanted to do was hang out in Poet's Corner for the rest of the afternoon, reading the walls. I wanted to be alone. I wanted to read every single poem without interruption. I want to follow him. I take a tentative step in AJ's direction. I want to trust him. He turns around and starts walking, stopping briefly at the table to grab his backpack, and we continue across the grass, straight to the theater. I follow him up to the stage, down the stairs, past the mops and brooms, and into Poet's Corner. He keeps the door open to let light in, and points at the closest lamp.
Hit the light?
He asks. He bolts the door behind us, and together the two of us round the room, turning on lamps as we go. He's faster than I am, but we still meet each other near the front.
Sit down.
He sits on the edge of the short, makeshift stage, and I settle in next to him, trying to forget how I made a complete ass of myself in this very spot less than 3 hours ago.
So here's how this works.
He clears his throat.
The current members have discussed it, and we would like to consider you, Samantha, Sam McAllister, for membership in Poet's Corner.
Why? His brow furrows.
Why what?
Why do you want me to join? You guys don't even know me.
Well, it's not that simple. You'll need to read first, then we vote.
So if my poem sucks, I don't get to stay?
No, we all write stuff that sucks. We're not judging your poetry.
What are you judging?
I don't know. Your sincerity, I guess.
He slaps his palms on his legs, stands quickly, and then holds his hand out to help me up. I take it. I think he's going to let it drop, but he doesn't. He pulls me over to the center of the stage, right next to the stool.
You should see things from this vantage point first, so you can get used to being up here.
He grabs my arms and pivots me around, so I'm facing the rows of empty chairs and couches. How often?
No rules around that.
I hear his voice from behind my right shoulder.
You can come up here as often or as little as you like. You have to read once to put yourself on even ground with the rest of us, but after that it's up to you.
The idea of reading makes me feel sick again, so I reach for a new topic. Where did all this furniture come from? I can't imagine how they got all this stuff in here. It looks impossible, especially when you consider that steep, narrow staircase. When I turn around again, AJ is perched on the stool, with one leg resting on the rung and the other on the floor. His arms are crossed over his chest. From this vantage point, they look kind of muscular. Up until this moment, I thought he was tall and kind of lanky in a cute way. He's not lanky.
Prop room, he says.
What do you mean?
When you come down the stairs, you turn to the right to get in here. But if you take a left instead, you wind up in the prop room.
I raise an eyebrow. The prop room?
It's the room directly beneath the stage, he explains. There's this huge freight elevator they use to bring the furniture up and down for performances. Once the play is done and they no longer need the stage set, those items live in the prop room until they need them again. Or until they're relocated.
Relocated? He uncrosses his arms and points to the orange couch he sat in the first time I was here.
That's our newest acquisition. Cameron and I had to take the legs off to get it around that tight corner at the bottom of the stairs. It was wedged in the doorframe for a good 10 minutes before we were finally able to jiggle it through.
He stands up quickly, takes a bow, and sits down again.
But we pulled it off.
I grin at him. You got that couch through that door?
Barely.
As I scan the room, it dawns on me why everything is mismatched and looks like it came from completely different time periods. An antique bookcase with a modern lamp, a retro 70s chair with a sleek metal end table. Everything in here came from the prop room?
Yep.
Don't they miss this stuff?
Pieces have been disappearing little by little over the last decade, ever since Poets' Corner began. I'm sure they miss things occasionally, especially the big stuff.
Like, for instance, a bright orange couch?
Exactly.
And even if they did miss it, I say, suppressing a smile, they'd have no idea where to look.
Secret room.
His mouth curves up on one side.
I should probably feel a little bit guilty, shouldn't I?
Maybe a little bit, I say, holding up my hand, thumb and finger nearly touching.
It's not like they were stolen.
Of course not. They were simply relocated.
That couch is really comfortable.
He steps past me and jumps down onto the ground with a thud. He falls back into the orange sofa, running his hands back and forth across the cushions.
And inspirational. You know, if you're looking for something to write about, this couch would make a great topic.
I laugh. Why would I want to write about a piece of furniture? I have a mental illness and 4 superficial friends. Surely I have more fodder for a poetic career than to need an ugly orange couch. When he grins, that dimple on the left side of his mouth catches my eye.
I have no idea.
Then he lets his head fall backward, and he stares up at the ceiling.
This is good. Keep him coming.
He motions toward himself with one hand.
What other questions do you have for me, Sam?
Sam, again, that makes 2. I walk around the stage, getting a feel for it under my feet. I run my fingertips across the stool, remembering how terrified I was up here. It feels like it's daring me to sit on it again, so I hop up and take a look around. The room looks different now that it's emptier. Safer. At least now I feel like a poet wannabe and not a stripper. AJ's still reclining into the couch watching me. Tell me more about the rules. You can't criticize anyone's poetry, especially your own, right?
True,
he says.
And the last time I broke that one, you saw the ramifications firsthand.
I remember how AJ stood up here with his guitar dangling from the strap, inviting his friends to throw paper at him. Yes, I did. Thinking back on that day reminds me of something else I've been wondering about. Why do you always start by saying where you wrote your poem? Why does that matter?
Is there a place you like to go when you write? Is there one particular place that inspires you?
I picture my room, huddled down in my sheets far past my bedtime, writing until my hand hurts. It's fine, but I wouldn't call it inspirational. Then I think about the pool. Yeah. AJ looks right at me.
We think those places matter. We think they're worth sharing, you know? Because when you share them, they become part of the poem.
Goosebumps travel up my arms. Hmm, I like that.
Yeah, me too. Which reminds me of another.
He hops back onto the stage and stands right in front of me.
The first poem you read in Poet's Corner has to be written here.
What?
Yep.
Crap. Back in history class, Sydney wasn't telling me I had to get up on stage. How could I have been so stupid? Why did you guys let me start reading today?
He laughs. You were going for it. I don't think any of us knew how to stop you.
I hide my face. Until I stopped myself.
And I think I speak for all of us when I say we were sorry you did.
Really? They wanted me here.
Of course. You would have been pummeled with paper when you finished, and I, for one, was especially looking forward to that part.
I roll my eyes at him. Now that would have been an interesting initiation.
Maybe, he says, but this one's better.
He pulls his phone from his pocket.
We meet on Mondays and Thursdays at lunch. Sometimes we call additional meetings for no apparent reason. Is that going to be a problem?
No. Actually, maybe.
If we invite you to join us, I'll need your number.
He lifts his phone in the air. I'm not an official member, but he seems to be asking, so I tell him. He types it in, then slips his phone back into his pocket.
Any more questions? He asks me.
I step off the stage and start walking the perimeter, past hundreds of slips of paper filled with thousands and thousands of words. All these people, each one so exposed in the most frightening way. I have no idea how I'll ever do anything close to this. I think all of you have a gift I don't possess, I say without looking at him.
What's that?
I take a few steps forward, watching the walls and the words as I go. You seem to know how to articulate your feelings and share them with other human beings. I'm afraid my gift is the exact opposite. I'm skilled at holding everything in. My chin starts trembling like it does when I tell Sue something I never intended to admit, but my chest feels a bit lighter now. I doubt this is what AJ meant when he asked if I had any questions, but I have to hear his answer to this one. How do I learn to do this? He gets up from the couch.
I guess you start in a safe place with safe people, like in this room with us.
He's speaking as he walks toward me.
We trust each other and we don't judge. You're totally free to blurt here.
I laugh too loudly. Me? Yeah, I don't blurt, ever. My friend Caitlin prides herself on having lots of opinions and always saying exactly what she thinks. She blurts. Sometimes it hurts the people around her.
That's different,
he says. I feel myself staring at him. Do you always say exactly what you're thinking? He shrugs.
I try to. I like to know where I stand with people, and I figure I owe them the same courtesy. I mean, I'm never rude or hurtful about it, but I don't see any reason to be fake. That's a lot of work.
It is. I would know. AJ lifts the cord from around his neck and drops it over my head. His fingers graze my shoulders, and the key makes a little sound as it bounces against a button on my blouse. Is this allowed? I lift it in my hands, running my finger over the sharp points and grooves.
Of course, the key belongs to the group. I'm just the one in charge of the door.
I'm feeling a little nervous about being down here alone. What if the power goes out? What if the ventilation fails? Could anyone get to me? Does anyone else have a key?
Mr. Bartlett. He comes in a few times a month to empty the trash, vacuum the joint, that type of thing.
The janitor? He knows about this place?
He's worked here for 20 years. Mr. B knows everyone and everything, but he keeps our secret to himself.
I run my finger along the key again. I don't really want AJ to go, but at the same time, I'm eager to be alone with all these poems. I'm dying to finally find his lyrics.
I'm going to leave, okay?
He says. I expect him to step away, but he surprises me by stepping toward me. I'm reminded of how tall he is, and I have to tip my chin up to see his eyes. I've thought about him so much over the last month, but now I finally have a chance to really study him. He's not gorgeous or anything, not like Brandon and the rest of my recent crushes, but none of them ever made me feel the way I do right now. Everything about AJ is pulling me in, the way he's standing so confident and in control. The way he's been so relaxed in this room with me today, making me feel like I do belong here. The way I remember him playing that one song, how it practically floated out of his body.
Stay down here as long as you like. Read the walls. They're covered with a decade's worth of words written by more than 100 people. Meet everyone. Then write something of your own.
Okay, I whisper. His expression is soft and kind, and his eyes shine when he talks about the room and me becoming part of it.
Lock the door and turn off all the lamps when you're done. I'll be waiting for you at that table by your locker.
Okay, I say again. He starts to step away from me, but he stops.
Oh, and if you want to, practice reading aloud. The stage doesn't feel quite as scary when the room is empty.
He squeezes past me, and I press my back against the wall to give him room. AJ? He turns around. I don't want to say it, but I feel like I need to, because I don't want to be uncomfortable down here, and I certainly don't want him to be. And if they're all gearing up to judge my sincerity, he should understand how much it means for him to forgive me. You don't have to do this. If you don't want us to be friends, I get it. It was a long time ago, but the things I said and did when we were kids? I trail off, thinking about the day Caitlin and I crank-called his house over and over again, until his mom finally picked up and screamed in our ears, begging us to stop. Or that time we sat behind him on the bus and cleaned out our backpacks, dropping all our gum wrappers, paper scraps, and pieces of lint down the back of his shirt. I shake my head and bite my lower lip hard. You'll never know how sorry I am. He doesn't speak right away.
Why are you telling me this? He finally asks.
I guess I sort of... I stammer, searching for the perfect words. I wanted to be sure you knew, just in case you thought I didn't mean it the first time. He gives me another smile. That makes three today. This one looks even more genuine than the others.
If I didn't think you meant it the first time, you wouldn't be down here.
I have no idea what to say to that, so I just stand with my thumbs hooked in my front pockets and rock back on my heels.
But since we're blurting here, he says, I'll be honest. It wasn't easy for me to let you come down here today. I've accepted your apology because I think it's genuine, and I'm not one to hold a grudge. But let's not push the friends thing, okay?
As he walks to the door, he raises his finger in the air and circles it above his head.
Read the walls, Sam.
Let everything go. I spend the rest of sixth period and all seventh reading the walls of Poet's Corner. The poems here are silly, heartbreaking, hilarious, sad, and many are absolutely incredible. They're about people who don't care enough, and people who care too much. People you trust and people who turn on you, hating school, loving your friends, seeing the beauty in the world. Sprinkled among them are heavier ones about depression and addiction, self-mutilation and various forms of self-medication. But most of them are about love, wanting it, missing it, actually being in it. I read some of those twice. None of the poetry is marked with anything that makes its author identifiable, aside from the fast food wrappers, which appear to be Sydney's trademark. Hard as I try, I can't figure out which ones Caroline penned, but AJ's proved to be fairly easy. As soon as I found that first song, I had no trouble finding more of his right-slanted, narrow handwriting. By the time the final bell rings, I've read hundreds of poems. As eager as I am to say I covered every square inch of this place, I've already been alone down here for over an hour. AJ's sitting at the table, waiting for me to return, and I still have a poem of my own to write. My backpack is still sitting in front by the couch, so I take a seat and thumb through my notebooks. I skip the red one because I'm not angry, and the blue one because I'm not thinking about the pool. The poem that's building inside of me is a yellow one. My head falls back into the cushions, and I let my gaze travel around the walls one more time before I take my pen to the paper. I tap it three times. Then I let everything go. Out of thoughts. I'm perched on the edge of the diving block at the end of lane number 3. I adjust my swim cap, press my goggles into my eyes with the heels of my hands, and step into my stance. I scratch the tape 3 times and dive in. I spent the whole drive here thinking about my afternoon in Poet's Corner, sitting on the stage alone, reading the poems, writing my own. And AJ, who may not be my friend, but at least he no longer seems to hate me. But now, everything is so quiet. Not just the pool, but my mind, too. I don't even feel the urge to swim to the beat of a song. I'm mentally spent, out of words, out of thoughts. It feels so good to be this empty. It's so peaceful. Is this what it's like to be normal? For the next 40 minutes, I follow Coach Kevin's instructions, but I wish I were here alone, without him yelling at me to swim faster, push myself harder. When practice is over, and the rest of the team heads for the showers, I hang back in the water, and keep swimming a slow freestyle, back and forth. 15 minutes later, the club is clearing out. The rest of my teammates are in their sweats and swim parkas, heading for the front gates, so I pull myself out of the pool and reach for my towel. As I'm rinsing off, I start thinking about what's next. If I'm serious about joining Poets' Corner, I'll have to step on that stage and read next Monday. If they let me stay, I'll have to read again, and again. I'll have to come up with an excuse to miss lunch twice a week. What am I going to tell the aides? My heart is racing as I change into my sweats, and my fingers start tingling as I'm heading for the parking lot. I'm almost out the gate when I spot Caroline, sitting cross-legged on the grass by my car. Hey, what are you doing here? She sits up a little straighter and I read her t-shirt. Procrastinate now! I hope you don't mind me dropping by. I figured you'd be here, and I didn't get to see you after, you know, what happened at lunch today. What happened at lunch today? I joke. With a dramatic facepalm, I fall back onto the grass next to her. I'm sorry, she says, laughing. Did you tell them about my OCD and my anxiety attacks? Is that why AJ apologized and brought me back downstairs? No, she says matter-of-factly. I never said a word. You swear? She draws an X across her heart. Then I remember what Sydney said in history when she invited me to go downstairs with her. I meant to thank Caroline when I first saw her in Poet's Corner, but I never had the chance to. You know, they let me back in because of the poem you helped me write, I say, coming up on my elbow. You wrote that. Not alone. She doesn't say anything, but she knows it's true. If she hadn't helped me find the right words to apologize to AJ, he never would have forgiven me. Thank you. She grins. Anytime. I have to get back on that stage on Monday. I know, and you'll be fine. She sounds so certain. I wish I felt that confident. And let's just say for the sake of argument I pull it off. Then I'll have to come up with more to read. Which could be problematic, since, as you know, most of my stuff is about the... I spin my finger in a circle around my right temple, but I can't bring myself to say the word crazy. They can handle it, you know. The... She mimics my gesture without saying the word either. I'm sure they can, but it's taken me 5 years to tell anyone outside my family about my disorder, and even though I let Caroline in on my secret, I'm not ready to share it with the rest of the members of Poets' Corner. Besides, I want their vote, not their sympathy. I just want to keep it between you and me, at least for now, okay? You got it. She presses her lips together and turns an imaginary key, locking my secrets inside. An excellent question. Where have you been? Caitlin asks as I find a spot in the circle. What do you mean? I start unpacking my lunch bag. The bell just rang. Not today, yesterday. When I look up, she blows her straw wrapper at me and it bounces off my forehead. You weren't here at lunch, and Olivia said you missed 5th period. I was just worried, Olivia says, playing with her food. Everything okay? I wasn't feeling well, so I went home after 4th. I take a sip of my soda. In my peripheral vision, I can see them all looking at Alexis. What? I ask, feeling the familiar adrenaline rush that always kicks off the panic attack. I steel myself for whatever it is Alexis is supposed to report regarding my whereabouts. She saw me talking with AJ at my locker,